I think it's great that we set aside one day of the year to give thanks to God. I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's good that we can at least go to our friends once a year and say, hey, thanks for that. That's great. Thanks for everything you did this year, because we appreciate you. It's like in marriage, right? Like the wife who says to her husband, you never say that you love me. And he says to her, look, dear, I said it at our wedding. If anything changes, I'll let you know. Now, that's not good enough. It wouldn't work in my home. And I don't think it should work when it comes to giving thanks to God. I think giving thanks to God needs to be something we do on a regular basis, not just once a year. Are you with me? Are you with me? I think that we need to be thankful people. I think when we look in scriptures, there is a lot of stuff in there that we should thank God for. Ultimately, we need to thank God for Jesus. And Paul writes a letter to the Colossian church. Thank you, Jamie, for coming out today and for leading us in worship. And he writes this letter to, yeah, you can give him a hand. That's right. He'll be back in just a bit. Paul writes this letter to this church in Colossae. And Paul's never actually even seen the church. He's never been to the church. He is now writing a letter to this church from a Roman prison. And basically, he's writing because there's some problems going on there. But he's writing because he wants to encourage the church. And the book is filled with thanksgiving. It's filled with things to be thankful for. And he starts off the letter by praying a prayer to God. And there's a number of things in that prayer, as Jamie read this morning, that we can take for our own lives when it comes to being people that are thankful. Because, see, here's the thing. I don't believe in just thanksgiving one day of the year. I believe in thanks living. I believe we need to be living a life of thanksgiving every day of the year. You with me? I think that's what God has called from us. So we want to look at that this morning, but let's pray first of all. Father, thank you. Wow. Where do we start? God, if we just look at the blessings that we have, we could be here all day, maybe more, maybe all week, just itemizing the many, many, many things that we need to be thankful for. God, as we look into your word here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that you would open up our heart and our mind. That God, we would take these principles and that we wouldn't just hear them, but we would actively do them. We would be obedient to what your word says so that we truly could be people of thanks living. So I pray, God, would you speak to us? Would you take away any distractions? Would you be glorified in your name? Amen. Thanks living. The first thing that we need to be thankful for, folks, is for his guidance. For his guidance. Verse 9 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The knowledge of his will. You know, I don't think I know a person that is alive on this planet today who can say that they have arrived and they understand everything that there is to know about God and about life and about the will of God. Anybody here know everything there is to know about God and his plan and his will for your life? I don't think anybody could put up their hands, and nor could I. And see, here's the thing. What I love about my relationship with God is God's will for my life is not a destination. Hear me, it's not a destination, it is a journey. It is something that we're walking through day by day. I've had many people come up to me and think and ask me, I need to know what God's will is for my life. And some people even have said, I think I may have missed it. And I answer them and say, you know what? If you're living a life of sin and rebellion, and if you are completely foreign to the things of God, other than that, you haven't missed God's will. Because it's not a destination, it is a journey. It is something that God shows us every single day of our lives. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Micah 6:8. You know it, I think. We used to sing this song. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You notice something in that verse? There's a number of verbs. It says act, love, walk. It's a continuous process. It's not something you just get, but something you walk towards. See, if you are walking towards the will of God and listening to Him and saying, God, what do you want from me? Then He will show you day to day the direction you need to take. And sometimes that direction seems a little bit strange. It may be something as simple as a couple weeks ago, I was eavesdropping. I know some people say that's not a good thing, but I was eavesdropping when Katrina was talking to Kina. You just saw the video of Kina, and I think that's an incredible video, don't you? What God has done in her life and through her life. It's sometimes God bringing us to a certain circumstance or a situation, and it could be something as simple as last week, Pastor Nicole was upstairs with a sore back. Was that last week? Now, she didn't want a sore back. She didn't want to be sitting upstairs with a sore back. But she's up there, and I'm sure this will come I'm gonna steal your thunder, girl. I'm sure it's going to come up in a sermon at one point in time. But she's up there, and because she was able to be up there, she was in the right place at the right time so that she could lead a young man to the Lord. I think that's cool. I think that deserves a yahoo, because that's what we're all about. But see, folks, knowing God's will means that you got to be listening. And you got to be willing to step out of the norm and go and do what God calls, though at times it may not always be the thing you want to do. So, folks, it starts off with thanking God for His guidance. He wants to guide you. And you need to be thankful for His guidance. You need to be living in that place of guidance. So thank Him for His guidance in your life. Secondly, thank Him for practicality, His practicality. I don't know if this is Englishly correct or whatever, but go with it, okay? Thank Him for His practicality. Here's what He says. He says, Paul goes on, he says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. See, I'm glad God is a practical God. I'm glad He doesn't just give us a bunch of stuff, a bunch of information, and says, there, go take it and have fun. I'll see you in a few years when you come and visit me up in heaven. No, God is practical. He gives us the stuff, but He shows us how to walk it out. He gives us that which we need in order to walk it out. You all know Matthew 6, verse 33, right? Does anybody know it enough to actually quote it? Ooh. Oh, yeah, there we go. Cool. Oh, I hear this murmur. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, you sit there and you go, okay, that's great. What things is He talking about? All these things will be given to you as well. Well, if you go back a couple of verses, in verse 31, He says, you know, we get into this kerfuffle. What should we eat? He says, or what should we drink? Or what should we wear? I am so glad, hallelujah, that God has given me a wife, a good wife that dressed me. She dressed me this morning. Do I not look good this morning? Come on. Yeah, give it up for Michelle. Give it up for Michelle. See, these are things that we need in our life. God is practical. He wants to meet those things, but He says, listen, in order for me to meet those needs, you got to do something. You got to what? Seek what? First His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. He says, look, come to me and let me guide you, and I want to guide you, but you have to be willing to be guided. You know, I know people that have a lot of head knowledge, but not a lot of practical knowledge. Do you know anybody like that? Yeah, I can think of two people right off the top of my head that have a lot of head knowledge. They've done a lot of schooling, but putting that practical knowledge into play is not always an easy thing. I used to work in a group home, and you know this, and we We had a strike one time. I don't like strikes. I think they're evil. I think they're dumb. A bunch of kids go, ah, yeah, 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 I want my way, that kind of thing. But anyways, that's a side note. And so we had this strike going on. And what happens in a strike is that it's a minimal amount of employees that are working, and management comes in. Now, we had a manager come in, and he was smart. I was so excited to work with this manager because this guy was smart. Like, he had his degree in crisis intervention. And I'm thinking, this is good because our home, we needed some help there. Just saying, we needed some help. So in the middle of the shift, one of the ladies walks up to one of the other ladies who she does not like at all, and she punches her right in the face. Kapoof! Right in the nose. And there's blood, and it's gross, right? And this manager, I'm thinking, crisis intervention guru, hallelujah, here he comes. He's going to know exactly what to do. And I watched him as he goes, we got a crisis. Oh, what do we do? Okay, we got to get a book. Okay, let's grab the book, and we got to write this down. I need pen, where's the pen? Okay, we got to find a place to sit down. I'm going, wait a minute. There's a gal bleeding here. How about we forget the paperwork and let's get some toilet paper or something like that and stop the bleeding? It's probably a good place to start. And let's pull these two ladies apart because they're going to kill each other. I know that. And let's do something practical. See, here's the problem. Sometimes we got a lot of knowledge, but we don't put it necessarily into practice. Sometimes people spend a lot of time in school. I'm going to play on this one just a bit. Okay, I'm just going south for a minute here. Sometimes we do a lot of learning, but we don't necessarily always put that into play. There was an article on September 9th put out by Forbes, and it was titled, Does College Prepare Students for the Real World? Does college prepare students for the real world? You know what the answer was? No, the answer was no. And here's what the article said. There is a great deal of theoretical learning, studying of history, and exploring of ideas. One student said, we learn lots of sketchings and lots about design. This is an archaeological student. But we never built a building. We weren't involved in the process of building one. So here's the problem. People can learn a lot, but they don't know how to put that into practice. That was the problem here in the Colossian world. See, because there were people in that community, the experts, okay, the theological experts that were just dumping on the people and saying, here's what you got to know and what you got to memorize and what you got to take into your heart. But they didn't give them the tools to actually play that out. God is not a theoretical God. Aren't you glad for that? God is practical. He gives us what we need to live out that life. It says here, so that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. God wants us to bear fruit, be practical. Now see, here's the thing. I said this to the youth, and I won't say it the way I said it to the youth, but I said to the youth, fruit is not something you can force, right? You know what I'm saying? It's not something you bear down and I'm going to produce fruit. Okay? Okay? It isn't something that you can force. You know what I would have said to the youth after that, okay? But I won't say it here. But fruit comes naturally if we're taking from the vine, if we are taking the nutrients that are necessary. See, God has given you what it takes to bear fruit. He's practical. He wants you to be living out a life that honors him. Growing in the knowledge of God. See, that's how it starts, folks. When we get to know him better, when we're taking out from the nutrients and knowing him better, that's when we begin to grow. So God is practical. Listen, can I ask you, be thankful that God is practical? That unlike other religions that stand back and God is some foreign deity that kind of says, now go do it right or I'm going to smoke you, okay? God gets involved in our lives. But you know what I love? And this brings me to the third point. Thank him for his strength. See, because God doesn't just give us the information. He doesn't just tell us how to work it out and what to do. He gives us the strength to do it. Listen to what it says here in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now, when you think of power, okay, when you think of giving the strength to be powerful, there's a few things that go through my mind when I think about power. I think of the Old Testament. I think of, you know the Red Sea issue there, right? You know when the Israelites got to the Red Sea. We're talking a couple of million or more Israelites standing there at the Red Sea. This isn't like Hollywood where you got 50 people standing there waiting. We're talking a lot of people. We're talking the Egyptian army behind them. We are talking about there is no place to go. And they're standing before the sea, and God says, not a problem. Why don't I just part it for you? Moses, why don't you tap that water with that staff? And don't you love it in Hollywood where they show, and they're walking through this path about as wide as these stairs, right? And they're looking, and there's water on this side, and you see Jaws swimming on this side and Finding Nemo's over there, right? You see all of this, and you're going, this is very cool. Now, you got to think about it. In one night, an entire society crossed through that water. And we talked about this in staff meetings and other words, places. An entire body of people crossed through that place on dry land. Now, first of all, for them to cross, have you ever walked through a place where it was wet just like 10 minutes ago? What happens? You're sinking down and you're sinking fast. These guys are walking. We're talking a couple of million people walking across. And for them to get across, someone said that they had to be about 5,000 people abreast. That's a very wide group of people going across this. It wasn't a little whoop, it was wow, right? And they're walking. Now that's power. We think about that. We think about power being Gideon. And we think about, here's this guy. He is supposed to be attacking 130,000 people. And here he is with a little army of 300 men. And all they got for weapons. Now think about, folks, seriously. Like God's got a great sense of humor. Seriously. Okay, Gideon, I want you to go fight these guys. They're trained soldiers. Here's what you're going to take. You're going to take a pitcher, not a pitcher of a camera, but a pitcher from water, right? You're going to take, you know what? You're going to take a trumpet. And Rod says, hallelujah. And you're going to take a torch. All right, here we go. All right, guys, here we go. We're going to take on this army. We got a pitcher, we got a trumpet, and we got a torch. Woohoo! And away they go. You remember the story? The whole Midianite army fell before them, before the Lord. Now that's power. When we think about power, we think about the hurricanes that we've seen. We think about the earthquakes. We think about all the different things, natural disasters around us. But can I get you back to this here this morning? Being strengthened with all power. There's two words that Paul uses here, and I don't usually go to the Greek words, but I'm going to do this here this morning because I think they really make it clear. He uses the word dunamis. The word dunamis is a word from where we get dynamite. This is inherent power, power that is inside of us. Dunamis, rising up. Okay? And then he uses another word. The word, second word is kratos. It means manifested power. It rises up and kratos, it reveals itself. It shows itself. Rising up power, going out to do great things for the Lord. See, that power isn't in the wind. It isn't in the water. It isn't in all the storms. It's in you. Amen. It's in you and it's in me. That's the power that he is talking about here. He strengthened us with all power so that we can stand. Folks, that we can stand and not cower in this day and age. See, here's the thing. There is a very real enemy out there. And he wants to take you down. And you are not going to be able to stand before him in your own strength. It's not going to work. I used to live on a farm. We used to have a bull. And you didn't stand out in the middle of the field when he came charging at you. You go, whoa, stop. And you go, aah! Like in the cartoons. He doesn't do that. Actually, there was a photographer that tried that in Toronto at a rodeo. And it didn't go over so well. I actually got a picture of it. You want to fire that up there? Yeah. He didn't stop the bull, and the bull sent him a flying. See, here's the thing. You can't stop a bull with a move of your hand. You can't stop the enemy in your own strength. He's going to send you flying, like this poor old guy. But, with all power, Paul says, the power, he strengthens you, with empowers you with the strength of the Holy Spirit. I love the word strength in here. It's the same word that Paul uses in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And he says this, I can do everything through what? Through him who gives me strength. You can do it not in your own strength, but through the power of God. He strengthens you with that dunamis power, with that kratos power, so that you can endure, you can keep standing, so that you can be patient, that even when the circumstances of life are thrown against you, you can still stand. Folks, can we be thankful for God's strength? Can we truly thank him in the middle of those challenges, of those difficulties? God hasn't stepped away and says, man, you got this one. I'm going to go have a latte. No, God is right there beside you, waiting and being there to encourage you and help you through it. Folks, thank him for the strength. Lastly, thank him for his inheritance. Listen to what it says. Joyfully I give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We often use the words joy and happiness interchangeably, don't we? I'm sure glad that that there is so much more to joy than happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, right? On your circumstances and situations. You're going to be happy this afternoon as you're sitting there with your belly full after having that turkey dinner. You're going to be even happier later on when somebody hands you a pillow and you can have your Pentecostal nap. There are certain things in your life that brings you happiness, circumstances. But joy is not something that you can conjure up. Joy comes from Jesus. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God works in us. I love Rick Warren's definition of joy. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. That's good. I like that. In spite of everything else, God gives me the strength to endure, to keep going. Folks, joy is being thankful because God has given us an inheritance, a future inheritance. And let me tell you, it's not like the inheritance you get from your family. It's not your dad's 1984 Pinto, okay? Or it's not your mom's spoon collection. God has given you an inheritance, Scripture says, that will never fade. It will never perish or spoil, as written in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. See, the thing is, everything in this life is going to fade, isn't it? That 1984 Pinto is going to rust. Maybe it's rusted already. That great-looking bod that you have, Mikey, it's going to change. It's going to go from abs to flabs. I'm just saying, okay? Things change. I want to look like Mikey someday. But things are going to change over time. The inheritance that God gives to us, though, does not change. It gets better. Kept in heaven for us, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Folks, can you understand what God has for you? Can you stop and understand? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, and you know this. It says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what? What? What God has prepared for those who, what? Love him. See, we get way too caught up in the here and now, don't we? We work so hard for the gold. Folks, one day it's going to be pavement in heaven. So let's work on things that are going to last for eternity. Let's work for things that are going to honor God. But let's be thankful for our inheritance, our eternal inheritance. I'm gonna call Jamie and the team back up here. We need to live a life of gratitude and live a life that truly honors God. Let me end with a story. I read about it was a life-saving squad. What they were people that were down in the States quite a number of years ago in the 1800s. And what they did is they would assist passengers when they were on Lake Michigan. And on September 8th, 1860, a passenger boat by the name of Lady Elgin, it had some major problems. And the ship capsized somewhat, and people went overboard. And this life squad, as they were known at that time, went out to try to help. There was a man at that time by the name of Edward Spence. And Edward was training to be a pastor. And he was part of this life squad. And he saw these people in the water. And he jumped into the water and he pulled them out one after the other. One after the other. Edward went into the water and rescued personally 17 people. But the toll of and the exertion was too much for him. And he could not finish his training as a pastor because his body was so wrecked from saving these folks. A number of years ago, Edward Spence passed away, a number of years later. And it was noted that not one of the 17 people that he had rescued had ever come back to thank him. Can you imagine? Now let me tell you about another rescue mission. This one happened a little bit more than a few years ago. This one happened when Jesus went to that cross. And when he died upon us on that cross so many years ago. And see, here's what it says in Scripture. It says in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. In him we have received redemption, the forgiveness of sin." It is through him that we have been rescued. Now let me ask you this. How often do you go back and thank him? How often do you make it a point to say, "God, man, I can't believe what you did so that I can have hope and I can have eternity"? In closing this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to stand. Please stand with me at this time. And I want us to take some moments here just to thank God. Just to thank God. Your turkey will be fine, okay? But we need to worship the Lord. I asked Jamie to lead us in a couple songs with the choir. Thank you, choir, for joining us here today. And as they lead, now you can sing along, or you can just simply say, "God, thank you." And maybe start thinking about some of the things you are thankful for. Maybe start mentioning them to God. But as we worship the Lord, we're going to sing a couple of songs here together. And let's just thank God. And Father, I want to start that right now by thanking you for the many unbelievable gifts that you've given us. But God, really, it's all so trivial comparing to the gift of your Son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can have a relationship, a friendship with him. Thank you for all that he gave up so that we can have once again reconciliation with you, Father. Thank you for hope that we have through your Son. Thank you for the love that he has shown us. Thank you. Thank you just for him. Lord, as we worship you now, as we thank you now, would you just come upon your people, God? Would you just invade our life with such a gratitude? Would you just fill us with such a sense of thanksgiving? It would rise up in us. And we couldn't help but just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God, have your way in this place in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.